This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you're in our audience and you've tuned us in, and we trust the program is a help and a blessing to you, maybe even challenges you. And again, for those of you who would like to contact me, you can go to my website, BDC Ministries, one word, bdcministries.com. And you can re-listen to this program there. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and you can look at an awfully lot of other information that's available on that website. And if you'd like to reach me by the regular old-fashioned way, you can do so by using Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. We'd love to hear from you. Now, again, we're looking at the most important person in the Bible. We've looked at those people in the Old Testament and the New Testament that are prominent and bring us valuable lessons as we look at their lives and as we think of mistakes they made and the blessings that the way in which they worshiped, the blessings that came because of the way they worshiped. We've looked at all of these, many of these people. We haven't looked at them all, but we've mentioned that the most important person in the Bible, of course, is the Lord Jesus. And really, the Bible unfolds to us in a progressive way, the Lord Jesus, so that we can know Him, and in knowing Him, we know who God, the Creator God, really is, the God of the universe. And of course, the Lord and is a part of a triune God. We don't have three gods. We have one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But they were all involved in creation, and they have one mind. And so, contrary to what some of the pagans would say, when they worship their gods don't have one mind. They even fight with each other. But our God, if you talk to the Lord Jesus, you're talking to the Father. If you're talking to the Father, you're talking in the power of the Holy Spirit. They are of one mind. And of course, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to teach us and to bring us all into an understanding of the Bible. And we've come now to Labor Day. And I often wonder why it's called Labor Day, because really we labored during the summer, and now we're reaching the point where we should be harvesting the fruits of our labor. We're not quite ready for that yet with regard to corn and beans, but when it comes to the fruits of our gardens, most of us have picked a lot of tomatoes, and we've gotten our share of cucumbers and zucchini, and we've picked beans and peas and canned them or frozen them, and we've all had sweet corn. And so we've been reaping the fruit of our labor. But when we come to the Bible, we find out that one of the ways in which we are instructed as to our relationship with the Lord is by looking at a vine, a grapevine. Not many of us plant grapes in this area, in the area that we live in Iowa and the Midwest. Some do. My dad did. He planted grapes, and we learned how to prune them, and we learned how to make grape juice, and he even at times used it to make wine. We never used wine except in moderation, but we did at times make actual wine from the grapes that he produced. Of course, my wife and I also had, when we were living in another location, we also had planted grapevines, and we found it instructive to find out how a grapevine is to be handled, because in the spring you prune the grapes, and when you prune the grapes, you'd often think you're just about going to kill them, but if you prune them properly, then you get new branches with new fruit, and we found out that the branches that grow this year, produce fruit next year. You have to know that so that you don't prune off the fruiting wood. But if you prune them properly, you can get an awfully lot of fruit off of one vine. And so when we come to the Bible, the Lord tells us that He is the vine. And actually, we would look at John 15 and verse 1 with regard to this truth. He says, "I am the true vine." And so when we look at Him as the true vine, We find out that in the Old Testament, Israel was looked at as a vine, and the Lord was looked at as a branch. And the reason for that was because the Lord's lineage was supposed to go back through Israel to the lineage of Jesse, who was the father of King David. And so we read in Isaiah 11, verse 1, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." So the Lord was fruitful because he had the right lineage. But now we're fruitful if we're saved because we have ourselves also the right lineage. When we're born again, we're placed in this vine. And when we read about the vine, we're not really reading about salvation. We're reading about service. And we need to keep that in mind because otherwise the passage could get a little clumsy and difficult to understand. But you'll understand, I'm going to read from John 15 and verse 5, and you'll understand what I'm getting at in just a few moments, where the Lord says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." And then he says, "For without me you can do nothing." And that's the key in my mind to understanding our relationship to the Lord in the vine. We know that many people think that they're doing good works and producing fruit for the Lord, but they've never actually become a part of this vine that, of course, in the early part of the chapter needs to be pruned. There's people that get away from the Lord who need to be pruned, and there's people who deny the Lord, or as Judas did, who reject the Lord, and they need to be cut out of the vine. But the point is, if we're really saved, we're part of this thing that he calls the vine, and the vine produces fruit. And so we can get a lot of instruction from this because the vine, as we've already said, is pruned, and that speaks of discipline. It speaks of separating the good from the bad. There are just a lot of things we can learn by the grapevine that the Israelites would have understood so well. So we can't abide in the vine unless we are in the vine. And this bothers me a little today because most of the messages that I hear today assume that everybody is already in the vine. And yet when we come to the book of the Revelation, we find out that there's seven churches, and I've mentioned this before, and all seven churches have overcomers, and all seven churches, congregations, have people that are not overcomers. And we've looked at that in detail and found out that the overcomers are the true believers. They are those who are faithful to the Lord. And the ones who are not overcomers are ones who are in the church but not true believers. And so I've been greatly concerned lately, particularly because of things that have happened in the world and in my family, that we are clear about the gospel and that we don't try to make it appear that we're Christians because of what we do. We are Christians because of who we believe. And we have to believe the truth of Scripture if we're going to be really in the vine. We have to believe all that the Bible says about sin. We have to believe all that the Bible says about the eternal consequences of sin, hell and the lake of fire. We have to believe all that God says about salvation, being delivered from the penalty that our sin deserves. And it all centers around the confidence that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, then we have a desire or even a responsibility to live according to the principles that God has laid out for us. Our relationship with God starts out by needing to love God, and we don't love God until we find out that he first loved us. And when we turn from our sin to the Lord in salvation, then we will love God. Then after we love God, we're to love our neighbor, and we could go into all of that as well, but you come to the book of Romans, and it's really an explanation of the gospel to the Gentile world, The people that are already saved probably are listening to this gospel. But after Paul has explained all of the truths of the gospel, he says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that ye be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And the perfect and acceptable will of God is that we present our bodies as living sacrifices. And we often don't present that properly. We present our bodies as living sacrifices as Christians. And here we read, for without me ye can do nothing. But if we are in the vine, and if we are getting our nourishment from the vine, which means we're getting our nourishment from the Word of God, if we're doing all of that, then we can produce fruit for the Lord, fruit for eternity. Now, when we look at the fruit, that is produced when we're in the vine. Remember, without me you can do nothing. That fruit could be bringing others to the Savior. The fruit could be new births. And even in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. And so the Word of God is that which convicts us of our sin and brings us to the Savior, puts us in the vine, and it brings forth fruit. We duplicate our faith in other people. And so that is one of the fruits of of remaining in the vine. And then we find out that when we love our neighbor, we of course tell them about our Savior, but we also bear the kind of fruit we have in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so abiding in the vine will help us to produce that kind of fruit, and it's the kind of fruit that this old world needs today, isn't it? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. People need to understand eternal consequences of the relationship with God. People need, after they're saved, to understand that the blessing is found in producing fruit, not only duplicating their faith in others, but showing the graces of the Lord Jesus Christ in their own lives. And so abiding in the vine will cause holy fruit, while being slaves to sin brings forth fruit that leads to death. And we read about that in Romans chapter 6. Friend, are you in the vine? And if you're in the vine, then are you aware that you can't do what you want to do of you can't please God by doing what you want to do in a matter of self-will, because without me you can do nothing. But the Lord wants us to produce fruit for eternity. He wants us not only to help others understand the need for turning to the Lord for salvation, but he wants us then to show that we're Christians by the fruit that we bear in our lives, the attitudes that we have, and all that we really reflect when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless those who have listened and bless this lesson. We ask for thy mercies in our Savior's name. Amen.